got a standing ovation the last time I did Shallows with our friend Demi, who we went to her surprise 30th birthday. And she said to me, and I've forgotten this because I was so drunk at the wedding.
Your wedding?
No.
Demi's wedding.
I thought it was at my wedding, but she said, no, it was our lesbian friend's wedding. I was so drunk. I was like, let's go up there. There was a boy playing songs. I was like, oh, he's shitting. Let's go up there and we'll do better than that. Let's go perform Shallows.
So the DJ, you thought you were better than the DJ?
No, he wasn't the DJ. He was an actual, like, singer.
He was a professional singer.
Didn't, because I was so... Andy hates that day because I ruined it, because I had to go home about 8 o'clock.
Because you were so pissed.
Well... The reason I was so pissed, there was multiple reasons I was so pissed, right? So the wedding was about like 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock at Norwich Castle.
Nice.
So we got a bus to Norwich. This is back in Norfolk. And then we got bus back to...
Oh, as opposed to the Norwich
that's... The other Norwich, like in America.
There is a Norwich in America.
Is there?
Yeah.
Oh. So then we
Everywhere in America or Canada is named after the UK.
Yeah, it is, like Norfolk, Virginia.
And New York and...
Yeah, yes. And so we got the bus back and the caterer hadn't turned up. So they had no food.
So you're just blaming your drunken antics on an empty stomach.
I had an empty stomach and we started drinking. No, well, it's more than that. And they eventually ordered in a load of pizzas, but we were waiting ages for these pizzas. Yeah, it was really good pizza.
Buffet food.
Yeah.
But has it your wedding day? You'd be dying though, wouldn't you? You'd be like, oh,
they
my
were
God,
so upset.
I'm not surprised.
They were so devastated.
All that planning and stuff.
I know. And the pizza, the catering company, just they couldn't get in touch with them or anything. It was awful.
Did they steal all the money?
I don't know. I don't know what the outcome of it was, but they had all the money at the time. They'd paid for it.
Oh, God.
Anyway, back in the day when I used to go up the pub a lot and I used to host the pub quizzes, I obviously was friendly with a lot of people in the village because everyone knew me because they always used to come to the quiz. So our friend, good old friends, Winnie and Barry, they have a gin bar at their house. So I was talking to Barry about it and he was like, oh, why don't you just come around and we'll have sample a few gins. I didn't tell anyone where I was going. Because I'd had a few by then. Because I had an empty stomach and I was drinking. So there I go, off with Barry to his house. Into this like little beer gin shed thing that they'd made up. And I sampled quite a few gins. I get texts off Andy saying, where the fuck are you? I come back like everything's all like hunky-dory. Andy is savage that I hadn't told him where I went. By this point, I was a bit more pissed because I still hadn't eaten because the pizzas weren't there yet. And I remember being so drunk that I was like laying on Cousin Sarah's head and she was like stroking me. And then Andy had to walk me back home about 8 o'clock and he said I ruined the whole day for him.
Does sound like it.
Yeah.
Bin.
Clearly, it was not my fault. It was because the food hadn't turned up.
Correct.
That's what I blamed it on.
Correct. And that you could not have purchased any food anywhere in the centre of Norwich.
We weren't in Norwich. It was back in Filby, the village.
Oh, okay.
I think Mum had gone up to the shop to get some, like, nibbles, but it wasn't enough. I think she was hiding them because she didn't want to share with any other guests.
The close family distribution network.
Yeah. Back to that, yeah.
Come with me. I've got some peanuts in my bag. Don't tell anyone. I've got a bag of crisps.
It was like that. It was actually like that.
Put your hand in my pocket.
And anyway, and apparently I was so drunk that I said to Demi, I was like, oh, we can sing better than this guy. But I clearly didn't make it up onto the stage because I was passed out and Andy had to take me home.
So that's when you didn't get the standing ovation.
So I didn't get the standing ovation. But then we had Demi's 30th. And then she reminded me of when I had said this, which I had long forgotten. And for her 30th, they had this karaoke machine. I don't know why. But all of her family,
yeah, I think that's standard.
All of her family, though, are quite good singers. It's really strange.
Hereditary.
Hmm?
Hereditary.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
And so I think they do that quite frequently. And so they had this karaoke machine. I thought, oh, fucking hell. I was like, I need to start having a few gins. So...
Because you knew the composition.
Because
would
I
take
knew
you.
I would have to at some point.
For the sake of your general public.
Yeah, for the sake of the public. So then she reminded me of this, and I was like, oh, let's just do it. So we performed this song. And for the first time ever, it was probably the best that I'd ever sounded. Literally, people were clapping. I was like, oh, was that good? I even said to Andy, he's like, right, give me your honest opinion. How good was that? He was like, no, that was actually quite good. So that is like my go-to karaoke song now.
I think we should have a karaoke on the podcast.
Oh my God. I've never heard you sing though. I don't remember you singing at that other karaoke when I first performed Shallows.
I'm awful. I'm really, really poor singer. In fact, I'll record something. Send it to you. I'll put it in our Dropbox and the TikTok. From the TikTok.
And then I'll re-edit it, add some auto-tune into it.
Aren't I singing on the musical?
Yes. So ironically, we've really gone off topic now. So the second musical.
Have you told Pounders what the first musical is? And why there is a second musical?
Okay, so there's a musical. We have a Yard musical called NLE the Musical. You can find it on YouTube. Which the first one is basically, it's about the Yard. You see the Yard. There's a competition happening in the Yard where the liveries are trying to fight to win 10 grand. And at the same time, which is almost real life, I want a life beyond the horses. You've not seen the musical, have you? You've not seen the musical.
I've heard much about it, though.
So that's essentially the first musical, and it's Disney songs, but like the words have all changed to fit the story of the telling of the Yard. And so it ended on like a bit of a cliffhanger.
Did it?
For those who want to watch it, and I won't spoil it, or I'll say spoiler alert now. Let's mute this for about 30 seconds and then unmute us.
How many people do you think are going to do that?
Two people, me and Louise.
You know what happens? And I'm not going to do that.
So it ends with me falling or getting pushed off the muck heap, and I'm like dead, you presumed dead, whilst this demon that was in a horse is now in a person. But because of how I've had to rework the story, because we've had like liveries go and come, that still is how it's going to start. But we now find out like some backstory about who this demonic creature is.
Is it me?
Technically, yes. So there's two versions of the character.
Well, you said, do you want to sing a song? You didn't say, do you want to be a demonic?
Well, we get to see you in the past. So we'll be, that is going to be your like studio, that massive green screen over there. So essentially you're in the past and my like, I'm really spoiling the film now, but my spirit as such gets shown things from the past, like what was on the Yard 500 years ago. So you playing the younger version of this character who's there in present day.
So it's a Christmas Carol meets Green Mile.
Kind of, but with some fantasy elements, more fantasy elements.
With Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe thrown in.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's ironically, phenomenal. You're playing the younger version of the character Ursula's playing. So she's playing the older version.
Brilliant.
You're the younger version. And yes, so there's a song which is based off...
This podcast met Ursula yet?
No.
I don't think it has.
No.
Has it?
We might put a picture up of when Ursula had her costume fitting done. Where she loved the costume.
Did
and
she?
The wig. Yes.
Loved it.
Loved it. I wonder if I've got the picture actually.
You should on the bottom of our podcast put the link to
the musical. The first musical, yes. Last week we were discussing near-death experiences, and then we had Our good old friend Danielle jokingly say this. She put, yes, I had a near-death experience. This one time, my colleague almost gave me a heart attack, and I threw my Wotsits all over the floor and water all over myself. And I was like, I wonder what colleague that could have been.
Was it you, Shane?
Do you remember them days where I used to get, like, Jules and Danielle, and I'd just randomly just be there and, like, not doing anything? I'm like, ah!
Did you just see the dog move then?
Yeah.
Tracy's just gone as well because it made her drop her ball, so she's gone scurrying off. Look, there she is in the background.
Oh, she's back. But we had our good old pounder friend Ursula tell quite a dangerous story. So she used to work on a livery yard where they had quite expensive horses. And when I say expensive horses, I'm talking like these horses were worth about £300,000. And
were they breeding horses or racing? What type of horses were they?
They were like proper show dressage, you know, like cream of the crop type horses that you'd get into the Olympics with. Like that type of expensive horse. And she said they had to like hack these horses out just to keep them like fit. So she said she hacked one of these horses out and it was a bit wild. And she said it started like going into canter, then it was galloping and she started falling off and she had no control. And she's literally hanging off the edge with one foot in one stirrup, hanging there, trying to hold on. And she said it was almost like she had superpower strength because she was approaching this like school, there was traffic everywhere and this horse was just like galloping through everywhere. She's hanging off the edge of this horse trying to pull herself up. Horse keeps going and she said she approaches a bridge that goes over the A3, I think, and she said all she could suddenly see like down below was a load of cars. She said as this horse is like galloping, she sees the edge of the bridge with these traffic cars below her and the horse starts like tilting. And she was like, that moment, like life flashed before her eyes because she thought the horse was gonna tip over the edge of the bridge.
Oh my.
She was just gonna go with it because her foot was stuck in the stirrup, but luckily the horse just like managed to pull itself back up and it carried over the bridge until it finally like came to a stop.
Good grief.
Which
horses can be dangerous, beautiful, but they can be really dangerous, can't they?
Well, when me and Andy went on our honeymoon, we went and did horse riding in Yosemite.
Oh, lovely.
But when they do their like trail riding, they don't wear helmets or anything. Which, wow. Oh no, or did I? No, we did for that one. It was the second time we went for, but this one was it was the second time I've been on a horse. I've been on Andy's horse once for that little like Western video and it was for 10 seconds and I screamed and it was not the most pleasant experience.
For you?
Yeah. Well, for everyone.
And everyone concerned, it was just a generally unpleasant experience.
Just a very unpleasant experience, but I wanted the shot, so we had to do it. Anyway, we go on this trail ride in Yosemite and we're going around, we're waiting to go in like the little corral thing. Andy turns around to me and my face is like, he was like, what's the matter? I was like, I've got a naughty horse. It wasn't naughty at all. And we practice and I thought, oh, actually, this isn't too bad. Anyway, we start on this like trail. We're going through rivers where like it's quite strong current. You have to really steer your horse. We're going up to the mountain, up into the mountain, where literally there was a sheer drop of about 100 feet. And you're riding on a, like...
An actual 100 feet or a sheer...
This is an actual 100 feet, not your 16-foot fall, which was 6 foot.
Still hard to get up 6 foot when you're soaking wet on the ground, playing upside of a riverbank.
As you fell 16 foot.
I'd only got 6 foot to climb out, but I fell 16 foot.
Anyway, by the time I got to that point, it's like all the fear had gone. And it was me, like, taking videos and selfies. I probably can put it on, like, this video to show because... And I remember the, like, instructor turned around, me being the least experienced rider in the whole group. I was like, yeah, this is fun, despite, like, looking down there and it was, like, this sheer drop. And, like, I remember the stones, like, on the path. It wasn't, like, flat. There was like, I was like, if that foot the horse's hoof just like misses, because there's like the branches of the...
I think it's in the horse's best interest not to.
Yeah, and they've done it so many times. But I was looking down, thinking,
I think you'd be generally all right, but yeah, no, I don't think I'd like that.
It was scary. It always makes
me laugh that you live on a livery yard and your business is running a livery yard and you are not a fan of a horse.
It's not that I'm not a fan of horses. It's that they can be a bit dangerous.
But they can also be so lovely and caring, and
yeah, and
so
I think
a horse smells so good.
They can be, but there's been, I've seen situations here on the yard where there's we used to have a stallion on the yard, and there it used to share a paddock out back, and someone put another male horse next to it, and they started fighting, and they both like got out of the paddock's bit and ran down to the outside stables, and literally the stallion was trying to mount the other male horse.
And but isn't that just dominance?
It is a dominance thing.
It's a dominance thing rather than actually wanting to...
Yeah, and the person should not have put said other horse next to a stallion. And
you had
Andy
a big accident at the yard, didn't you, anyway? There's been a big accident at the yard, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. That was, God, nearly a year ago now, where... a girl was leading out two horses, and one of them spooked her own horses. She was taking them out to the paddocks. One spooked, knocked into her. She fell to the floor. As she fell to the floor, the horse decided to bolt, but as it bolted, the back foot smacked her in the head and like cracked open her forehead. And it was horrific. I've never seen anything like that bad before in my life. That's the worst accident I've ever seen. And we had to get the air ambulance out because it was the quickest way to get her to, I think she had to go to like Coventry hospital. It was like a specialist head unit.
Oh my word.
But she like powered through that. I remember
she should have come on to
but it's things like that knock your confidence so much. She's only just started, nearly a year later, getting back on horses. And it's good that she has, because you have to get over that fear again.
Yep.
Yeah, that was that.
Get
was
back some... on that horse, as they say. Get back on the horse.
Literally, yeah.
Right, so what's our podcast about today, Shane?
Well, we've discussed like various, like, a couple of episodes, we did some dating stories, didn't we?
We did do some dating stories.
And there's some stories that I know of. Not, I was involved, but not for the dating part, where there were more like hookup stories.
Oh.
So there's been a few times.
I don't
times.
Have any hookup stories.
Fuck off!
No.
There's been, in my life, I remember, in my life, my long life...
How old are you now?
How old am I? 34 this year.
Oh, okay.
I've had an interesting life. I've got enough stories, I think, to write at least one book. Probably multiple books, if you like. You
I
split them up
to
into
read it.
People who want to find stories funny.
Okay.
Because they are quite well. I don't know. Yeah, I always find them funny. Like the retelling of the stories. It's like sometimes
it's
you have
the entire premise of this podcast.
Well, it is. But we need other people's stories, the Pounders. Join the Patreon, send in a story.
I'll just send the stories.
You can join for free. I think there's like a little chat thing you can even add in the...
No, there is.
On the...
There absolutely is. I've joined our Patreon for free. I'm almost tempted to pay the $1.50, sort of a pound, not quite a pound, the $1.50 to actually look at us, because I don't have any editorial... say at all. So
it's
I've
so
got
funny because
no
I forget when stuff comes out and I'm like, oh yeah, because there's like the clip of you losing millionaire and
yeah, and then there's some extras on there and I think, oh, I should maybe watch those.
Yes. Just in case. Did Chain edit that bit out? Did he tweak the edit to make it sound like something else? It's like, do you remember that years ago with the edit with the Queen? They made it look like she was storming out of a photo shoot when that isn't how it happened at all, and the BBC had to apologise.
No.
So they kind of like reversed the shots. So she said something as she was walking in, but they made it look like she was storming out.
Right, okay.
Like how you can change things in the edit. I tell you what, oh my God, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast. I had a dream the other week. And have I told you about this?
So interesting.
You were in it.
People.
Of course. And so was one of our colleagues that we'll call, I'm have to bleep it out. Have I told you this?
Yes.
I've told you.
Yes.
I'll retell it anyway. I don't know if I've told it on this podcast.
I don't think you have.
Because it's going on to a TV show. It's linking to a TV show. Okay. So in this dream, we were leaving work, which wasn't our current work. It was like we were working in some sort of hospital. And I remember the receptionists were horrible. Like, we didn't get on with the receptionists. They were really snooty, even though you invited them out to lunch.
Oh, okay.
Which was really...
Probably because they're going, what are those two idiots doing working in a hospital?
We were doctors.
Nobody wants those two anywhere near them.
Have I told you this? I don't know if I have. And then you were like, right, we need to get to the restaurant quick. And so our colleague was like, I know a way we can get there. We can get there by boat. Have I told you this?
Hey, listening to other people's dreams. They're so dull, but continue.
And so, like, we had to, like, moor up this boat, and there's you, like, tying the... I don't know where the boat come from and why we were suddenly on a river. And then we get onto the boat, and we're sat there, and then you're wearing this, like, purple, like, not puffer jacket, but, like, purple, like, coat. And I said to you... I said to you, didn't you wear that when you starred in The Comeback? And for anyone who knows what The Comeback is, it was a TV show years ago with Lisa Kudrow. It's way ahead of its time. And then on the boat, you started singing the song that Lisa Kudrow sings in The Comeback in the first series, because she wanted a theme tune to her show, The Comeback. And it was, first I was afraid, I was petrified. And you start singing this and I'm like... Oh my fucking God. Sounds awful.
That's right.
And then you're like, oh, I am tired of this boat. I really need to shit. I need to get there faster. So all of a sudden, we're in this car. Like, we're in this car and you're like, right, need to go. So you put like your foot down on the head because you're like, I need to fucking shit. It's probably because I told the shit story of me, like, from... First
Probably.
Episode or whatever it was.
There are a lot of shit.
Then we kept speeding up. And then I woke up. But I was like, why was Louise... I woke up and thinking, why was Louise in The Comeback?
And that was it. This is
that
why
was
we're...
It. Yeah.
That was it.
But The Comeback... I'm going to get into the TV show, The Comeback.
Okay.
The Comeback... When there was two series. The first one was in 2005. And then the second series wasn't out until about 2012.
Is it the one where she has a son? I've definitely seen something, and it was very good.
No, it's where she was like, she plays a character called Valerie Cherish, and she was on a TV show and years ago, and then like they're bringing her back.
As in The Comeback.
The character, yeah, The Comeback. And they have this documentary crew follow her around. So it's almost, it's filmed like a mockumentary, a bit like The Office style.
Okay. Or like Modern Family.
Yes.
Okay.
But back in 2005... It was really ahead of its time. So they film all these episodes ready to watch the first... they film all this footage ready for the first episode showing of this show.
Okay.
And she gets all these people around her house and she starts to watch it. And they've edited her in such a horrific way that makes her like this like psychotic woman. And she gets like really upset with like the producer and she's like, oh, look at her with her beady spider eyes and like gets really upset whilst they're still filming though. Anyway, that relating to like how things were like misedited, and none of ours have been misedited at all.
Some of them just need to be better edited.
Some of them need new characters.
there was
a time. I think this is
what
where
this is.
What is
this podcast about? What are we asking the Pounders to do then?
Oh, what was it? Oh, this was like hookups, funny hookup stories.
Oh, yes, but funny hookup stories.
This next story could potentially be related to that. So it was Christmas again. And I think in the last episode, we spoke about the Christmas incident where I smashed the mug with the sledgehammer.
Oh, yes, we did.
So we've established
that. And the knee.
Yeah, and the knee.
Yeah.
So we've established that for whatever reason, well, you had a sledgehammer in the house.
Not safe when you're a student.
No, I don't even know where it came. We found it in the garden. There's a picture somewhere. We've got the picture of the sledgehammer in the hallway. And I remember one night, me and Eleanor decided that we were going to go to this Christmas party. And that's why we bought the Santa and Santa's Ho costumes. Because we used to have, there were so many fancy dress things in uni that we had like this collection of... I don't mind it.
I hate fancy dress. All my friends love it.
Well, we had this collection of all sorts of fancy dress things that we'd go to. Because you do as a student, because it's like, that's the night out for the week. And I don't know, you just had these. I don't know how we found the money for all this. And we decided that we were going to this Christmas party. But we didn't want our other flatmate to come with us. Because, I don't know why, I can't remember. So she was just staying in the house. This is going to turn into an episode of, like, stories from the old Harrow house, because we've got loads. And I'm finally admitting all of these. So this is, like, world exclusive.
If you went to university. If you went Harrow, to university. In circa.
Yeah. You can work it out. Yes.
So go to this Christmas party.
So Christmas
not
party.
Not with but with Eleanor.
Yes, just with Eleanor. We'll bleep his name out.
Okay. Poor Poor probably like a human rights lawyer and actually a
probably.
Decent person.
She was a strange, strange soul. But we were so nasty back then. We were horrible. Like some of the shit we got up to. Oh yeah, karma. I had my karma. That's why sometimes nowadays I always do a really good deed to like balance the karma levels back out. Just in case.
What's your last good deed?
I think it might have been a while. Probably due one.
Okay.
So we got this taxi into, I can't remember what it was. It was a couple of like towns away. And the event that they used to do like themed events at this club, and this one was a Christmas like millionaire raffle type thing.
Right, so, up your alley.
So they had this giant balloon filled with lottery tickets, and as you went in, you also got like a raffle number.
Okay.
But because we knew the bouncer, we got in for free. Excellent. And we got raffle tickets
nice.
For free.
Nice.
So the big main event thing of the club night was that this balloon was going to explode and you'd have to collect the tickets. But they did a raffle first and we won like a bottle of champagne.
Oh, nice.
We won loads of shit. And I don't know, it wasn't rigged, but it was just by chance. And we met these two girls that we sat with. There's pictures of this somewhere, but we probably can't put them on. Well, this on her Facebook, if you really want to know, so you'll find it. And I remember we were sat there before the big balloon thing exploded and there was like an upstairs bit. And Ellen had set her eyes on this guy. And he was decent looking. I think he was a bit older than what we were.
Okay.
There's a picture of him somewhere as well.
Excellent.
Just for the records.
Track him down.
So Ellen like goes up to chat to him and brings him back down to the table. We're all sitting and everything seems like nicey-dory, funky-dory, and everything's going
funky
well.
Dory.
Funky-dory. Add that to the dictionary, Oxford Dictionary. And then they do the balloon thing. Me and Ellen were ready for this.
Get the tickets.
We're like, we will get
smarter,
as many
not
as
harder.
We were. But as soon as that fell, they like slowly tumbled. We were pushing people out the way. We were grabbing. We must have got about 15 tickets between us. We got a lot of them. We didn't win anything on it, but I know. And then we got towards like the end of the night. I'm like, oh, how are we going to get home? And then Ellen was being a bit friendly with this guy. And then he said he can drive us home.
Oh.
Really stupid because he had been drinking with us.
Oh. Massively stupid.
Massively
many different.
Stupid. So Pounders never do that. Never drink and drive or get into a car with someone who has drinking and driving. So
or a stranger, even.
And a stranger that we just met, and we were walking to the car, and I'm thinking, probably shouldn't be doing this, but I'd had a few too many to drink, and I didn't care. So Eleanor sits in the front, I sit in the back. Have I told you this story?
No!
And he was like, oh, I need to stop and get some petrol.
Oh.
So as we're driving along to the garage, he goes to me, oh, that's going to look really dodgy if like the police see us. You're going to have to just take off your Santa's hat. So I was like, okay. So I take off the Santa's hat. He's like, yeah, you're going to have to take off the Santa like top hat bit too. What? And I had a white T-shirt underneath. So I was like, okay, I'll take the jacket off.
Yeah,
so,
what, are the police particularly concerned about Santa's
probably not,
cars?
But like... At this point, we're like, something doesn't seem right here. And then he goes, yeah, you have to take your top off as well. And I'm just like, oh, okay. Not thinking, like, even though Eleanor sat in the front fully, like, Santa's hoed up to the nines.
But it's just you.
But it's just
naked.
Me.
Okay.
And then we stop at this garage. And he's like, yeah, you both need to give me a fiver for petrol. So we're like, oh, okay. So we both gave him a fiver. And then he goes to pay for the petrol. And I'm like, sat down. I was like, what the fuck do we do? I was like, I don't know where we are. Because you didn't have Google Maps back then on your phones. Because it was like them old shitty phones. I was like, what the fuck do we do? I'm trying to get out the bag.
And he's locked you in. Child lock.
Child lock, isn't it? I'm like, fuck. Ellen's like, well, I think we're nearly home. I think we're nearly home. We'll just get home and like, we'll deal with it then. I was like, So then he gets back in the car and I'm like, oh, this is really dodgy. This is dodgy as fuck area now. Yeah. He gets to our house. I was like, oh, thank fuck, we're home. And then Elna gave me the look. And it was the look of like, we need to get rid of this fucker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know when you've just got that thing with someone, yeah. All you have to do is just look at them. And he comes into the house. And I'm like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God, what do we do? What do we do? And then as we walked in, Ellen was like, oh, in there with her big boyfriend because bedroom was on the ground floor,
right,
like the other side of the living room. She had her door locked. And I was like, well, that didn't like deter him. And then Ellen's like in the kitchen, like just ignoring him. And he's just like hovering around. And I was just like, oh my God, what the fuck are we going to do? And then I remembered that behind the blow-up chair was the sledgehammer. I'll just hit the mic. So I was like, right, it's what? Either he's going to stay here and God knows, fuck knows what's going to happen, or we do something to try and get rid of said person. So I grabbed the hammer and I was like, I suggest you leave now. And he was like, okay, don't want no trouble. And then, like, went. Ellen was like bolting the door. We had a bolt at the top. We had like she'd locking everything.
Oh my God.
And then
it's not like he's coming back. He's probably thinking you two are right where it is. One of them was just taking his clothes
off.
We
turned off all the lights and went upstairs, like into like the smaller room where we used to like hang up all the laundry. And there we are, like in the window looking. There he is on his phone. Like, you could see the light of his phone.
Yeah.
And we're like, what if he's texting other people to come around here? What are we going to do? And this is going to sound, oh, I don't know whether I should include this bit because it'll sound really dodgy. But Eleanor calls her boyfriend.
Now leave it in.
At the time. To, to who lived in the same town where we went to the club.
Right.
To come over. I was like, oh, thank fuck, he's coming over because he used to work out. Because there's me back then, I was like skinny. He
so
was like big muscular.
Did you tell then as to why
we didn't tell
over?
Him that bit? We left out that piece of information.
So just thought he was getting lucky then.
Well,
just a bit of a booty.
They
call.
Had a no. They had a strange relationship. I don't know if we can include this bit in, but they had a. They weren't meant to be together, let's put it like that. But they were together.
Okay.
I think it was like a childhood coupling. Like they got together at the end of high school.
Okay.
I might be making that up, but I think around that era. And they were just, you know, when they're just there because...
Yeah.
And thank fuck. And then this guy like drove off and I was... Oh. I slept with that sledgehammer under my bed that night. Just
in
case, under the pillow. No, it was under like the bed. I was like, how dangerous that could have been.
Yes.
Like the stupid, like things that we ended up in.
I hate to think of like any parents listening to this. They are not going to let their kids go to university.
Well, this one, I don't know.
They're just stupid.
Do you think kids are that bad nowadays? Or are they worse?
No, because they don't think they really drink so much. I think they're quite healthy. No. And I think they're kind
it's
of...
It's a different...
It's probably different times.
Because when I was there, everyone was pissed as a fart. There's this other time. So this is turning into like a university story episode now.
It is. So it could either be university stories, pounders, or hookups, which is what the episode actually
starts or anything
off.
That you want to talk about.
We've got to have some structures this podcast.
I know, but at least these are funny stories.
It's true. But we are now on our sixth episode of 194 to go. We possibly need to...
Normally, fairly a bit structured. I don't know. It makes it funnier.
Tell me your next story.
So there was another theme night. This is the first year of uni when we lived in halls, and
look at her.
It was sportswear night, and me and Ella used to say, "Do you remember sportswear night?" Because it was one of our favourite nights, despite nearly dying. This should have been on our near-death experience. It's just all coming back to me. So that night, we were all dressed like in sports gear, and Eleanor had been flirting with the bouncer, but she was also flirting with the DJ. I remember the DJ because his name was DJ Tommy A. Which
shout out to DJ
who
Tommy
was
A.
The DJ at the other club that we went to for the Santa's thing. There is another story about that, but I don't think we can put that in the podcast because that's just not appropriate.
As opposed to all of these ones today.
So yeah, it was sportswear night and we're all dressed up, and so the bouncer had a thing for Eleanor, the DJ had a thing for Eleanor, and the bouncer Eleanor was very popular in uni, and the bouncer didn't like the fact that she was flirting with
DJ.
So he kind of took it out on me.
Oh.
So there was these like inflatables like hanging from the ceiling and stuff, and we wanted one of the said inflatables. I think it was like a football or something. So someone lifted me up for me to grab it, and I remember he like grabbed me down. I was like, "You can't be doing that," and really like had a proper go at me. And I was like, "Ellen, this is your fault," because he is just jealous. There's a picture of that bouncer somewhere as well. This is the funny thing with me and Ellen, there are pictures to all of our stories. Which makes our stories funnier.
We should just need to get her on.
We do need
to
get Eleanor on.
I could just, you know, just need her here. I could just... go off and do other things.
And
with my Saturdays.
I remember this night because this was the... I can't remember. This is a world exclusive because I don't think many people know this. That this was the first night that I had kissed a guy.
Oh.
Yes. It's a bit awful. As well, because there was this guy that I liked, and he was around there, and he'd then been sick in the toilet.
Oh.
I know, but as students, you don't give a shit. And then afterwards,
no, I think I did.
Oh no, I literally did have no.
Okay, fair.
I didn't care back then. I remember we like had a little kiss that night. And so I was like really happy. So then I went back into the halls and was in the kitchen with like some of our hallmates. What do you call them? Hallmates? Halls of residence. Like.
It's like flatmates, aren't
flatmates,
they?
Yeah. Flatmates is a better name. And I remember Eleanor messed with me because she was still there. She was still at the. It was like
she
this.
She was busy.
The bar
was
like
busy.
Not that far away from my flat. So there's me all like really happy in halls and she messages me. "You need to help me." I was like, "Oh, fuck's sake." So I go back out.
Still dressed
in my sportswear, like, I think I had like a, what do you call it?
Headband
and like,
I don't know what you'd have gone
like. Tracksuit.
Excellent. Jimmy Savile.
And then, yeah. And then
I need to tell you a story about Jimmy Savile at some point.
Save that one for afterwards. And then I remember getting there and I saw the guy that I was kissing with someone else. So that like upset me a little bit.
Aww.
But then there's Eleanor like collapsed against the wall. I was like, fuck's sake, I'm going to have to help her. So there we are. I pick Eleanor up and we all like, because the club had then shut, we all march to this other kitchen, ground kitchen. Well, we weren't going there. I was originally just taking Eleanor to her halls. She lived a bit further away in this like other bit near the hospital. And we ended up walking past, and it was just like the most chaotic, 200-meter walk that I've ever known. There were people jumping on cars, and I remember someone slid down and their knee went into one of the front headlights.
Oh my God.
I remember someone shoving their scarf in there just to like cover it up, because clearly that is the thing that you do. There was this white...
I haven't thought about DNA testing at all.
There was this white van. Don't know how. There was these people that broke into this white van, and there was these petrol canisters that they just got. And I was like, where the fuck?
200 metres.
Yes. Like, the cars that were, like, parked, we hadn't gone that far. This was all happening whilst I'm trying to, like, carry Ella. And then she's like, let's go into this, like, flat kitchen, someone's kitchen, because there's a party going on. People are, like, carrying on partying. So I was like, okay. So there I am, I drag her in there. She's, like, half passed out on the floor and she wants some water. So I'm getting her some water.
Okay. Nice friend.
Yes. And then there's, like, back then, no one, like, abided by the rules. There's people smoking at the window and, like, it was just chaos. Next thing we know, it was because it was a ground floor kitchen, the people smoking there, like, ran away because the people with the gas petrol canisters come, like, bursting in and dropped her and it started pouring on the floor. There's people smoking. I'm like, shit, I need to get Eleanor out of here. So I drag her out.
Oh,
I for long had forgotten these stories because they've all just been flooding back from whatever we've been talking about. And I dragged her out. She gets up. Like, miraculously healed.
No, we've all been there.
Goes running down the corridor.
You asked Fred about the time that my legs stopped working.
Well, she just went running down the corridor, bursts into a room. Whose fucking room does it happen to be? There's the guy with another guy.
No.
I was like, oh my fucking God. I get Ella out. No. I'm like, I'm really sorry. Trying to like cover up my emotions. Because back then I was a lot more emotional. Get Ella out of the building. And I'm like, right, I'll walk you to this bit. And then you can go... carry on to wherever she had to walk to her house. And she told me that she got to her room. She was trying to put a key in the lock and she fell and the key snapped. So she's just like collapsed there on the floor. Luckily, she had really good like flatmates and
excellent.
Someone managed to get her in. And the next day, we used to go to class at 10 a.m., I think, the next day. And Eleanor was nowhere in sight. She didn't turn up. And so I said to I was like, have you heard from her? And she's like, no. I don't know. She's all right. We see her in the afternoon. She was like, oh my God, I was so ill. She said she projectile vomited on the wall and it was like pink.
Oh, geez.
And she just couldn't get up.
Fair.
But I remember I went back to the kitchen with all the people. Obviously, a few hours ago, I was all happy. There was me, like, crying my eyes out. I remember there were the Frenchies. I always used to call them the Frenchies. There was like French exchange students. They were like the nicest people. And they were like, oh, Shane.
Oh, I broke your heart.
I know. Do you have any crazy stories like that? Yes, you must have.
No.
You must have some crazy stories.
Yeah, but don't forget, I went to university like 50 years
100
ago.
100 years ago.
And actually, I was all quite good at it. I was all right, you know. I was quite good. No, nothing like that. It's made sense. I've got many a story since. But
Isn't it strange? Like, I feel like I went through my I call them the crazier years. Like, from 18 to about 25, this is where most of my stories happened. All of most of my stories. All of the funny stories.
Oh, no, mine are throughout my life, but no. I don't have any crazy hookup stories either.
That is a lie. I probably have, but I don't... long forgotten, unless it suddenly comes flooding back to me. But
anybody watching this will have just seen that the dog's got a really bad knot in her ear, so I've just been sort of here picking the knot out for her ears. Poor baby. Sometimes go home and just cut them out. But she's been...
But yeah, my uni days were like the crazy days. Like, I made so many good friends and we had such like good times.
Oh, that's lovely.
There was once... This is another nearly death... This should have been on the near-death experience. This is like... If anyone's like listening to this and they want to write my biography, Please take this and like ask me a few more questions. We can fill in the gaps.
This is the Shane show today.
I know, because you've apparently got no stories.
No, none.
Me and my friend Sarah, the one I think we mentioned it on a somewhere where
Sarah, who I know.
Halls Sarah.
Oh, okay.
And she's the one that also cried when like her parents dropped her off.
Aww.
You've now got like Tessie hair all over your face.
I don't mind.
We decided one day we were going to do a pub crawl.
Fair. You're at uni?
At uni. So we started off at the SU bar and we thought, right, we'll go into Soho and we'll like plan a few pubs, maybe go to Heaven. And do you know what Heaven is?
No, but I vaguely laughed then because there used to be I don't know if it's still there, there used to be a club in Watford called Bed. And it used to make me laugh every time. It's just like, where are you? Oh, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to bed. Now, are you going to bed?
Yeah.
Are you going to bed or are you going to bed? I'm going to bed.
I'm going to Heaven instead of hell, which I probably will make hell. But so it used to be it's a gay club in, I don't know whether it's still open. I think something might have happened earlier on in the year or last year. But it was just this big where like celebs would perform in there. There used to be like loads of different like rooms with like some would have like cheesy music and some would have like pop music and various different areas. Really great place. Aww. So me and Sarah planned out this pub crawl and it was really good. We were having a good time. Went into Heaven.
I love that.
Brilliant place. Dance. And then we're like, oh, we need to get home. And by this point, had quite a few to drink. And back then were the days before the Ubers and you had to get like the black taxis.
Yeah.
And from what I can remember, I want to say we went down like this road and there was this black cab. Don't fully, because I was quite out with it. And I don't know whether it was like a licensed one. I don't know whether it was like a legit one because you did have like the rogue ones.
I don't recall because you're a rogue one.
But this is back like, this is like 15 years ago before the safety of like Uber and Lyft and whatever we have now.
Okay.
So we get into this taxi and he could see that I was quite drunk. And I remember like, you know, when you're driving along, like your stomach's going. And then I threw up in the back. And then he was like, right, get out of the taxi. And Sarah had to like drag me out of the taxi and onto the path.
Oh,
and I remember
God.
Her saying that she thought I was dead. She was there crying. I don't know where we were. It was like,
she thought she would
dead. It was about 2 miles away from the uni. She thought I was dead and she's there
crying. I'm surprised
crying.
You didn't charge you or charge you cleaning fee or charge you like 100
I don't know
quid
whether they took
up.
Our money. I don't know. I know we spent, I remember looking at my the card bill. We spent a fucking fortune that night. Like a fortune. How we afforded it as students, but that was probably like the whole month's worth of.
Oh my God, going out.
Ridiculous. And she's there crying and then I managed to like revive myself.
I revived myself
and we stood up and we had to walk about 2 miles, which felt like an eternity.
I bet it did.
And then we got back and I was like, I don't think I've got any food in the house because I haven't done the shop. You know, like your mouth is dry. I think I might have had like some strawberries left or something,
just water and a bit of toothpaste.
That would have made more sense, but yeah. I didn't think that as the student. But that was another.
So what are we asking the pounders to do? So is it? So this episode, which is stories of Shane's university.
Well,
university stories. Yes,
because that
stories.
Could be anything. Like they're not all like drunk stories. My university days, we had some funny times. Like when we were, did I tell you I got sacked from the writing team?
No.
So as part of our course, we had to make this 4-episode drama series. And we were to do everything from writing it or filming it, editing it.
Okay.
The whole shebang. Shebang? Shabazz? Shebang.
Yeah, shebang. Shebang is good.
So I was somehow on the writing team and I was on the editing team.
Okay, that makes sense.
Which made sense because...
Team effort.
That's... And essentially, it's the same thing. Editing your craft and story, writing you're crafting a story.
Yep.
Then other people got split up onto different things, whether they're like sound, lights, camera, directing it, whatever. And I was on the writing team, and I wrote episode 1 and 2 with someone else, I think, I can't remember who. And there was another group of people writing 3 and 4. And when we were like reviewing the episodes, bear in mind, this was like a teen drama. So think like Skins.
Okay.
That style.
Okay.
So the language would be more like how a teenager would speak.
Yes.
So there would be some swear words.
Yes.
There would be some slang.
Yes, I'd have thought so.
Some words that aren't fully composed words.
Like this podcast.
Like this podcast. And we got the 3rd and 4th episode, and I was like, what the fuck is this? There was like...
Queen's English.
They had written characters who were quite, like, tough. Like, there were some were like drug dealers and all that, saying golly gosh and words like that. And I was like, but we don't speak like that. I was like, where's the authenticity? And so I piped up, because apparently I'm opinionated.
Who knew?
And I got into this huge argument with the lecturer who was like teaching us writing for voicing my opinion, saying that I didn't think the characters sounded authentic. And I remember, I think I wrote a shitty email, and there's probably a copy somewhere, because I remember writing about it in my diary. I used to write a diary back then, which I haven't looked at since, because I don't dare look at, because I know there could be some like...
Oh, heartbreak.
Heartbreaking stories in there. And I had this argument, and then I got sacked off the writing team. But ironically, I got made head editor on the editing team. And then we had to show, like, so I edited episode 1. That was my episode. And then there was another editor for 2, 3, and 4. We then did this big thing where all the students come into the big auditorium thing and we watched the episodes on the big screen. Episode 1, which was my one, was very good.
Good.
And it was the good like start to the story. Episode 2, the editing become a bit bizarre.
Were you doing the editing for all 4? No?
Not at this point. You're spoiling it here.
I'm sorry.
And then episode 3, fucking hell, it was awful. Episode 4 didn't turn up. So then, after all the drama of me getting sacked off the writing team and having arguments with some of the lecturers, they asked me if I would like to get paid over the summer to edit the remaining 3 episodes. So they lent me a laptop. They paid me, I think, £100, which back then was loads as a student, to edit episodes 2 and 3.
Because they could manage the students to do their own work.
Because the students were just shit at editing. Episode 4, though.
Should they have made them better rather than, you know, paying you to get them through their courses?
No, but they weren't getting judged on it. I think they wanted it for their YouTube channel to, like, showcase.
Okay, the footage was
good.
Right, okay.
But the episode 4 was controversial because the tapes went missing. It was back when you filmed on mini DV tapes.
Right, okay.
And no one knew where the tapes were. And I was like, well, I can't edit it if I haven't got the tapes. Years later, I found all the tapes in a bag. That after I'd moved out from Harrow, I just found it in like one of my cupboards at home. I was like, this whole time, I had the tapes. This is, if people are watching this from uni, I'm really sorry, but episode 4.
But you hadn't deliberately done it, though.
No, I thought that they just had. I thought they hadn't filmed it or something, and they didn't want to say that they'd not done it, and so it was like, I had all the fucking tapes.
That's
to this day,
brilliant.
I've not rewatched any of the
Do you know
tapes.
What? You should shove that into an episode. I thought the bit where I said Jimmy Savile, we should things that we've got completely wrong.
Yes, I It was. I remember messaging Ellen, and I was like, "Do you remember when we couldn't find them tapes for that TV show we were making?" Yeah, I had them the whole time.
No, we should edit that bit out put that into things that we've got completely wrong, because otherwise this episode is just you telling stories about university.
It is.
Yeah, which is fine.
You need some uni stories.
So I remember once I was going out with this quite dull guy. He was lovely. And he was a medical student. And I was sort of interested in him, but not really. And I'd just sort of fallen into going out with him and into this relationship. And I really liked this other guy. And anyway, the fire alarm went off. This is when we were still in halls, and I was in this other guy's room.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, did you have, like, clothes? What did you do?
We got quickly dressed, and I was stood outside these halls with this bloke that I shouldn't have been with, and my boyfriend at the time was stood outside his halls.
Oh, no. did you actually get caught?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Was that like where you had to go like completely outside and like,
yes,
into the,
because it was
open?
Yes. And we had quads.
Was it just
and
a drill or?
No. I think somebody had set up a toaster or something. I don't know.
Oh, people used to do that so much in uni.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
My mouth's doing that funny thing where I talk so much that it doesn't work anymore. Wow, 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 wow. Please don't put that in one of the edits.
I still haven't got up to the bit where you do the like breathing in the microphone. It's somewhere, but I don't know when it happens. So, Pounders, if you have got any uni stories, what did we start off with? Hookup stories.
Hookup stories.
It's gone from like hookup stories to uni stories, because I think like them
because
uni
days.
Because
we digress.
Uni days were probably some of my best days of my life, like some of the fun times. Not like they're not fun now, but they were like different fun.
Yeah.
They were like the more wild, chaotic. It was a wild, chaotic era of me. Like, I've calmed down now. Can you imagine if I was still like that?
Well, you have had the odd night out in Oxford where...
leave and do one.
That's one of them that I wasn't there.
Yeah, the one that you weren't at.
Yeah.
Where we were kind of almost dressed like you with the wigs when you had short black hair.
That is true. That is true. But it wasn't
I have
mine.
Had a few, yeah, but nowhere near like, because I can't handle my drink anymore. No. Unless I drink gin. If I drink beer, I'm fucked.
So, thank you for listening to our sixth episode. And as you know, the usual format is we start an episode and you finish the episode.
So yes, tell us any uni stories, any hookup stories, any funny stories along those lines.
Or anything that you can just wrestle in.
Wrestle in, that is the new catchphrase. Wrestle in. So until next week.
Bye.
Pound away.